Good evening. Please turn with me to Psalm 1, please. And Lord, we thank you for what we have heard from you during the course of the day, during the course of the weeks that we look back to, and even during the course of this year. God, you have kept us. You have loved us. You have given us yourself. And you are so merciful, Lord. You're so gracious. Thank you that we can stand before you blameless, that you have made us perfect in your sight. We want to worship you today and be thankful in our hearts, and ask you to prepare us to receive from you today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I have learned was the message, or this the part of the verse that we read this morning in Philippians chapter 4. I have learned. And before I begin to read Psalm 1, I just wanted to say something about a thing that I have learned, and that's I've learned that conferences are very valuable. And I would like to also invite you, if you're planning on going to Eurocon, we will plan on doing something before Eurocon, have a trip maybe to the city where Martin Luther was ministering, where he was working as a professor, and where the Reformation, at least in the country where I'm from, started. And so you're invited to come. And I'd like you to really consider going to Eurocon. I know it's far away. I know you can't sleep well. And it's hard to get up in the morning. But it is about having learned something. We share something together. And that's what I want to talk about today. And those conferences, they have been so amazing for us over the years. And I've only been maybe not been apart for so long, but to think that this has been going on for decades. And it's an amazing opportunity to receive a vision from God about the body of Christ worldwide, and we are only a part of it, right? Our ministry. To have a vision for mission work. All those missionaries that come to the conferences that can testify of God's faithfulness, of God's work in people's lives. And also, I was thinking about this, like a personal vision for ourselves, for our own lives. Like, how many people have been receiving those kind of things at conferences? And be it here in Baltimore, be it in Europe, be it in Africa, be it at the Asian conferences, and I don't know where else, South America. But this is so important for us, and I'd like to just invite you, encourage you. This is the time to look for flights and to make plans to go. But I'd like us to turn to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm 1, rather. And I know we know this psalm. It is a very popular one, but I thought this is such a good psalm when we start out the new year and we reflect back on the year that lies behind us. And it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away." Wow, there's no glory there. Like, it's so light, it's just going away, it's nothing. "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." And I was thinking about As we contemplate this subject of what I have learned, what we have learned together, and what we share in, one word came to mind as I read this verse a few days ago, and it was meditation. Meditation on the Word of God is such an important element of our walk of faith, right? If I become too busy, that I don't have time to take in what God is communicating through His Holy Word, that is eternal, that will never pass away, that is so beyond human comprehension. And I was reading a little devotional by Timothy Keller, and it said that this word meditation, it is so important because it means also to contemplate the implications of the words of God on our lives. Like, what does this mean, what we read? What does it mean? What does it mean for our lives? How is it practical? And that leads us into something that we also share, and that is fellowship. Because it's so easy, like, to hear a message like this morning and to immediately move on to the next thing. It's shocking to me sometimes. And it's almost like the amen at the end. It's like the signal, you know, like now regular life can go on, and now it's about the Ravens again and about the playoffs and about my life and about work and about this and that and about whether I come tonight or if it's not worth it, or, you know, all those things can come in. And even for the preacher who preached the message. And, you know, and sometimes we say at the end, we say, oh, let's have fellowship. You know, we pray for the fellowship after. And I had this little quote that I liked from a man named, he has a great last name, but his first name is Mike, his last name is Livingston. And he said, what sometimes passes for Christian fellowship is about as nourishing as the donut you ate in Sunday school last week. Though enjoyable, it brings little spiritual benefit. I thought about that. Right? Isn't it sometimes that we equate fellowship with social interaction? And actually, we are having fellowship right now. We share in the Word of God. We share in the things that we have learned. And that is an important part of our lives. That's an important part of conventions. It's an important part of what we do. And this is what the word means, koinonia. It means to share something, to share our lives together, and to share what we have learned from the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit. And, you know, as a testimony for me, when I first met our ministry, it was the strangest thing for me that when the sermon was over, that people would still talk about the sermon in a rap session. As if the message had any relevance to real life, you know? I was like, how is that? You know, isn't it like you go there, you fulfilled your duty, it's over, and now you move on with life? But it was, I remember this was really something that impressed me. Wow, this is really not so hypocritical. This is actually real. Like, we talk about something real that matters, that's important, that affects us. And I would like to close with this. Just think about this again, like to have the thread here. Like, I have learned, that we share in something together. I've learned that meditation is so crucial. I've learned that fellowship is such an important part of our lives as Christians. But we've also learned something else, and I really thought about this yesterday. That we had a wrap after the outreach, a lunch wrap, and we talked about the things that we have learned, and people gave their like one-liners, you know, explain them a little bit. What have I learned? Or what am I learning, maybe? It's not that I've finished learning, but this is also in the psalm. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And this is amazing, like negativity. What negativity, what opinions, all these things can do to us. You know, I've thought about this, like, be slow to speak. I've learned this. I have to learn this if I haven't learned it yet. I have to be slow to speak. I can't be negative. It's not about my own opinion. And this was also what somebody said. I forgot who it was, but I've learned that I don't need to give my opinion on everything. I have learned that my opinion is not so important. I have learned that negativity can be extremely destructive. I've learned this. I've seen it. I've seen it. It's so easy to be negative, so easy to be critical, so easy to be familiar, so easy to expect something, so easy to be bored with life. It is so easy. It's so natural. And it destroys. It destroys the fellowship. It destroys the fellowship. We can't share in anything if we're negative. And isn't it amazing that if we, because we do naturally esteem ourselves very highly and our own opinions, and we know how the world works, right? We all do. We all have a few cents that we give to how what works, what doesn't work, what should be done, how it could be done better, and so on. But the Bible commands us. The Bible commands us to be slow to speak, slow to anger, and instead to be what? Quick to hear. Be quick to hear. That's what James chapter 1 says. And I was thinking, how about applying in real life what God is saying to us through the Holy Spirit? How about that? Isn't it shocking? We sometimes read like those verses, don't repay evil for evil, you know, all those things, and then we're like going at each other with those things. Like we want to pay back, and we want to, you know, we want that justice is done on our behalf, and it's so destructive. And I love this fact that we could, to the contrary, we could meditate on the Word of God, on the Scriptures, and apply them. Ask God, what does this mean, Lord? What does this mean for my life? And I've been wondering too, like how many times in my life have I received a gracious word from people, from God through people, when on the inside I was beating myself up over something. You know, like you come late for something or so, like you come late for church, you feel bad about it. I'm German, I feel like already late if I'm not 5 minutes earlier, you know. But like how many times have I heard this, like, wow, I'm so glad you're here. It's like, oh, okay, I can lower my shoulders, relax a little bit. And this was also one phrase from yesterday. I have learned how much edification can do. I have learned this. And this is why we come. This is what's so amazing about this fellowship. And I just want to thank you all for every time we hear your hospitality, for your prayers, also especially for my wife, for just the fact that we're so welcome, that we are loved, that we are encouraged in our vision and edified and built up. And I love it. It's so amazing. And I don't take it for granted. I'm so thankful for it. And I thank you all. And God bless you. Amen.
Okay, would you all stand with me, please? We want to pray for Pastor Stephan and also Mindy. How many believe that God could heal Mindy? Yeah, we've been loving you, praying with you, and amen, we believe that. Father, we also, Pastor Stephan has health things too, and Mindy and Randy, and just thank you for this family, and we ask you to heal them completely and totally for your glory. We pray it by faith in your name. You are awesome, God. Thank you for this man. He has ministry in Berlin. He has messages, his love, his great faith for the hill on the light on the hill in your name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Before you are seated, will you turn to your neighbor and just say what it is that he just preached about? Tell your neighbor what he just preached about, please, and enjoy that.
Okay, good evening. It's good to be in Baltimore. Amen. It's good to be in Baltimore. Baltimore. And Kentucky. Where's Oliver?
Yeah.
Hey. Okay, if you have your Bibles, I just want to open to three passages of Scripture real quick, and we'll put together a little quick message here. Hopefully this will be very encouraging to us, and such a blessing to be here. Thank you. So Genesis 3, Luke 11, and Acts 26, okay? Got it. Genesis 3, Luke 11. We'll find this in Acts 26. Okay, you ready? Don't we love this book? Amen. Okay, Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Luke 11, verse 33. Jesus is speaking here. He says, "No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a blanket, under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good," actually the word is single, "when your eye is single, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad," this is the word panaros, "if when your eye is evil, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light." And last is Acts 26, Paul is repeating his experience from Acts 9. In verse 14, Acts chapter 26, verse 14, "And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' He said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you." Okay, verse 18. "To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Let's just pray. Father, we just ask that you would bless this message now, bless your word to our hearts, to our understanding, and speak to us encourage us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this evening, I want to really encourage every one of us for this new year. And are there any people here are runners? Like running longer races? Like maybe 5K? Pastor Steve used to do that. Cross-country runners when we were young. Anyway, you know what? One of the things I love about these long races, marathons, you know, there's people cheering those who are coming in early, and then even those who are coming in an hour later, there's still people cheering them on. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. Finish up. And my encouragement tonight is this, is that we would again just have our hearts set to live not by sight, to live not by sight, not by the things we see, not by our own understanding, not by our own perceptions, but to live by hearing the Word of God like never before and running the race until the end. And we don't know where is the end, but it's coming. And to just say in my heart before God, God help me. I want to run this race to the end by the things I hear from you, not by the things that I see. We're not, since Adam and Eve fell, living by sight leads us right into the place where the enemy wants us to be. In this passage in Acts chapter 26, in verse 18, he says, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan. How many of you remember from when I was in Bible college, Pastor Stevens went through all these five, six different words for power and might and dunamis. And anyway, this is, what was it, ischus and... I forget now. But this is exousia. Do you remember what exousia means? This is authority. Look at this. To set them free from the power, from the exousia, from the authority of Satan. I'm sending you to go and preach a message that sets people free. Words that they hear. I'm not going to send you to go demonstrate something for them to watch and to see. It's the words of God, that words of life that set us free. And oh, that we, and I love Psalm 1, Pastor Stefan just spoke on, right? Blessed is the man whose delight, his love, his treasure is in the word of God, in the law of the Lord. And in it, he meditates, our meditation. Not meditating on the things we see. I'll say that again. Not meditating on the things we see. Not meditating on the things we judge. Not meditating on the things that we think ought to be. But meditating on the promises of God. And that's it. That's it. This year, these next years, these next days, we live by hearing. We live by faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing the words of God, hearing the words of Christ. And every day, let us be encouraged. I want to encourage us. We're running a race until the end by hearing the precious word of God. Oh God, speak to me this morning. I wake up in the morning. I go to work. Oh Lord, speak to me today. God, give me a word that I can grab onto, that I can meditate, and let your words replace the things that I have perceived and I have judged. In Luke 11, where we read, he says, verse 34, the lamp of the body is the eye. This is not just the physical eye. This is our perceptions. What am I focused on? What am I looking at this world? What is my perspective? What is my frame of reference? And he says this, therefore, verse 34, therefore, when your eye is good, it's actually not good. It's like, this is the word single, but that's not explaining. Actually, the Greek word goes to this, a picture of like a bed sheet that's laid out flat with no wrinkles. No wrinkles. It's flat. The mountains have been brought down. The valleys have been brought up. Perfectly level, flat. Now, when I look at your life and I judge you by the seeing of my eyes, there's a lot of wrinkles in there. So many wrinkles. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, we now know no one according to the flesh. Whenever I know you according to the flesh, there's so many wrinkles. There's so many things that are just not right in my perception of who you are, who my wife is, of who my neighbor is, who my boss is. There's so many, it's like it destroys my life. And how great, I think it's light. Oh yeah, I know him, I know her. I know what they said. I know what they did. And I know you according to that. That's not how God sees. How does he see? What's God's frame of reference? What's God's perspective? He sees us in Christ. He sees us in his Son. He sees us in his love. He sees us in his mercy. He sees, and this is the good eye. This is the single eye. Not by the things we're seeing. This is what Satan's exousia, his authority, is based upon a deception getting me to live by the things I see. And that is his authority. That is his authority to rule my heart, to rule my life, to rule my decisions. It's illegitimate authority, but I'm giving him permission. I'm following him. What is God's exousia? What is God's power and authority? His word. His perfect, true word. God is God. God has done what he has done. How I perceive the things in my life, it doesn't touch what God has done. Doesn't change anything. Just give it up. Right? Blessed is the man whose delight is in the Word of God, in the law of God. And on his law he meditates day and night. Why? What is happening then? Actually, the words that we're hearing from God are replacing the words I have in my soul based upon the things I see. The words I hear from his promises are his exousia, his authority is replacing and setting me free from the power and the authority of Satan, who blinds the eyes of the unbeliever in the world, blinding us in 2 Corinthians 4:4. And just because I'm a believer, just because I've received Christ, doesn't mean I can't continue to go back and live in that blindness. Satan wants us to come back. And actually, how is it? Actually, is yeah, maybe 80% of the time I'm living by faith. Maybe 80% of the time I speak things of faith, but 20% of the time my heart gets disappointed. Disappointed in what I see, what I experience. Disappointed in myself. Disappointed in my spouse. What's the answer to that? It's to hear God again. To hear God's words again. God, you tell me, who am I? How do you see me? With a single eye. With single eye, the bedsheet is laid flat. No wrinkles. Yes, God, but I was not faithful. I failed. No wrinkles. He sees us in Jesus. Just rebound. Agree with him again. Live not by the seeing of your eyes, but live by the hearing of your ears. What's he speak to all the churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3? He that has an ear to hear. Do we have an ear to hear this year? Does that rhyme? Do we have an ear to hear this year? The things that the Spirit is speaking to the church? Do we? I think we do. And I just so want to encourage us, cheer us on as the race is coming to the end and the great cloud of witnesses, they also live by faith, right? Hebrews 11, Hebrews 12, there are a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on. Go, go, go. Trust him. Don't live by the things you see. Don't live by the things you judge. Live by the promises that God has spoken. God cannot lie. His words will not fall to the ground. Everything you see and everything you judge, they are passing away like the grass and the flower that fades. But the word of God endures forever. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, Peter's talking about, he's going through a list of eight things to add to our faith. This is like my favorite passages, but add to your faith virtue. What is this virtue? It's the virtue of a sinner. Virtue, just being honest with God, I'm a sinner. God, I agree with you. Add to your faith virtue. Add to your faith honesty with God. God, I need you. God, I know nothing as I ought to know it. God, I cannot live by sight. God, teach me to live by faith. Add to your virtue knowledge. God, teach me your words. Teach me doctrine. Give me sound doctrine. Add to your knowledge self-control. What does that mean? It's not me controlling myself. That's the doctrine. That's the word of God controlling us. Add to it. Let the word of God rule by the things we hear. Mixing faith with every word, every category of our lives. Every category of our lives. God, teach me. Add to your self-control godliness. God is transforming us. As our own selfish life is submitting to the word of God, he's transforming us in the very image and likeness of Jesus Christ. His character, the fruits of the Spirit in us. Not being deceived by the things that we see. Not judging by what we perceive, but simply taking God at his word. Add to godliness brotherly love. Brotherly love. You're my brother. You're my sister. Who are you? You're a child of God. Who are you? You are one that Christ has died for. Your sins are paid for. Yeah, the flesh comes out. We're still in a rotten bag of garbage flesh here, and that comes out, but I don't know you by the things I see. I know you based upon what Christ has done. And we know each other, and we encourage each other who we are in Christ. Now, how do we know who we are in Christ? We hear it from the Word of God. We hear it from this pulpit. And add to brotherly love, add agape love, unconditional love of God. And then he goes on to say, if any of these things are lacking, if any of these things are lacking, if I'm not adding these things to my life, he says, I am short-sighted unto blindness. I'm letting the enemy, I'm allowing the enemy to exercise his authority in my life in some degree. But that's not for us. That's not for you. We are those who are adding by faith. We are those who have ears open to hear precious words of God. You know? Wow. Precious words of God. You are created to hear God. You are created to hear the Spirit's voice. You are created to walk with God. And this year, like none other, let us be lamps, lights, bright lights in this world. Not anything coming from us, just it's the light of God shining into us. We've got good eyes, clear eyes, single eyes. I don't want to know you according to the flesh. I don't want to know you according to your past. I don't want to know you according to your failure. That is irrelevant. That is irrelevant. I want to know you according to who God says you are. That's it. That is it. Amen. Amen. Anyway, if there's anyone here tonight and if you have never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you were to die today, do you know where you'd go? Where would your soul go? Are you ready to stand before God? Naked with no fig leaves? Are you ready to stand before God? If you're not sure you're ready, I want to invite you right now to receive Jesus. Let the light of God shine into your hearts. Jesus Christ died for you. He was buried for you. He rose again for you, victorious over sin. And he is risen that you might be a new creation. And if you would just lift up your hand real quick and just say, I'm receiving Jesus tonight, receiving him as my Savior. Is there anyone tonight? Just lift up your hand. God loves you. God loves you. He has a plan for you. He wants to set you free from the exousia of the devil tonight. Okay. Thank you.